I love the Lord God Almighty. How about you? I love the Lord with all my heart. I hold nothing back. Nothing back. I may be headed to a train wreck, and no, I'm headed to a train wreck, but he's right there with me. All I can do is close my eyes and say, you're right there with me. And we just go right through, and I'm unscathed. Just unscathed. I mean, that trust that I have in the Lord, it didn't happen overnight. Honestly, it didn't. I had to learn to listen to that still, small voice. Any of you been to Israel? Raise your hand. Well, I've been to Israel at least eight times. And the last time that I went to Israel, I had some important assignments that the Lord asked me to do, and one of them was to pray the borders of Israel. I prayed the borders of America. The Lord had visited me after I prayed for all the capitals. We drove to every capital in the United States, went to the Capitol State Building, went to the east side of the Capitol State Building as required of me, and did prophetic acts and declared things and repented things for that state. Right at the seat of the government. Right at the seat of the government. When he asked me to do that, I didn't know that that was even going to be possible. And it was just amazing how every step, how everything worked out. Then I'm done, and I'm just elated that I'm done. And then he says, I want you to fly to Israel and go to their capital. And when we flew over there, I did not know that you had to have an advance permit to go to the Capitol. They have a three-month, basically, investigation on you for whatever reason you're coming to the Capitol. It's a three-month wait. And I didn't know that. I said, take me to the Capitol. Our driver says, Nancy, do you have your papers in order? And I said, I didn't know I had to have papers in order. To go to the Capitol? And he said, yes. I said, just take me there. If I can't get on the grounds of the Capitol grounds, I can get outside the grounds on the eastern side and pray. God has given me these parameters. But to get as close as I can and do what he requires me to do. And there is something he requires me to do. So we get to the gate. They've got their guards, the Israeli guards, in, and they've got a guard shack. The car goes around in a little turn like this. If you're okay, they'll open the gate. They'll let you go in. Well, the guy comes over with their guns that they're all wearing, girls and boys, and he comes over to the driver that's on the right side. I'm sitting on the left side in the back seat, and he says, can I see papers? And our driver says, they don't have papers. Well, they can't go in. You know, they can't go in without the papers. And he said, they didn't know they needed to have papers. Well, what are they doing here? He says, that woman back there says God told her to come and pray. She's from America. So he comes around to the other side. I'm sitting back there, and I'm going, I'm telling you, this is the honest God truth about me. I know that you may be as against me as you want to be, but when I look you in the eye and you see the pureness of my heart, you can't get away. And I knew if I could get him to look me in the eye, he would see my heart was pure. And he did exactly that. Remember, Sarah? I rolled down the window. He came over to me and he said, where are you from? And I said, America, Alaska. And God sent you to pray here? And I said, yes, I'm a Christian. He said, get out of the car and go in. I mean, I'm not lying. And I'm getting out of the car, man. I'm like, I don't want him to change his mind. Sarah's getting out the other side. And I'm moving as fast as I can. And I said, it'll only take me 15 minutes. What I have to do will only take me 15 minutes. And he said, ma'am, take as long as you need. He turned to our driver and he says, and don't you leave these ladies here. You pull up on the sidewalk there. There's nowhere to park. It's a turnaround to get out or go beyond those gates into the Capitol. He said, just pull up on that sidewalk and wait there for them. Don't you leave them here. And we went in and we were blessed. I mean, the picture, the imagery that God gave us about the burning bush and the thorn of crowns, both, it was representing the burning bush in front of the Capitol, but when you looked at it, it looked like a crown of thorns. I mean, it was amazing. I stopped, I looked back, and I just said, Sarah, what does that look like? It says down at the bottom, burning bush. And it's quoting Moses, right? When Moses got stopped by the, you know, that scripture. But I didn't tell her that. I said, what does that look like? We took pictures. She said, it looks like the crown of thorns. Amen? I give God the glory of that day that we went in there. And God made it happen. Because he wanted me to go to the Capitol, as I did to every capital in the United States. And then I think, okay, I'm done. You know, I'm going to go back to business as usual. And he goes, now I want you to pray for the borders of America. And let me back up, because it's really important for you to know. When he asked me to pray for the capitals, I mean, it's like, okay, Lord, how? I don't know the timing, when he wants me to do it, how he wants me to do it. And what happens is but he did tell me in 2000, I want to say it was in 2008, the Lord said, or yes, it was two, no, it was before that. It was like Clinton's last 4 years, not Clinton, Bush's last 4 years. And the Lord says, I want you in Ohio, because Ohio was going to be a pivotal state. And it was, but God gave me the word like 8 or 9 months before. He said, I want you in Columbus, Ohio, at the Capitol on such and such a date. So we had about 40 people that we had kind of gathered to go up there. We were in different vehicles, cars and whatever. And we get there, and I think Udo was with me on this occasion. And when we got there, the state troopers were there. It was pouring down, raining. There were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of protesters just going around the Capitol, and a little bit scary, and pouring down, raining. And, I mean, on the way there, about halfway there, Uda will tell you that all of a sudden I stopped and I just wrote something on a piece of paper. Where is Uda? She's in dressing. I wrote on a piece of paper. She was driving her car. And we were on walkie-talkies with all the vehicles, and I was clowning around. I mean, if you know me, I'm always teasing and cutting up with everybody. And just in the middle of it, the Lord says, write this down. And I wrote verbatim what he said, and I turned to Uda to tell her, and the Lord says, put it in your pocket. I'll have you pull it out later. So I put it in my pocket, that piece of paper. Got to the Capitol. The state trooper meets us. We're in the undercar garage, and we're coming through, and these troopers come up to us, and they say, what's going on? And I went, well, we're coming to pray in the Capitol. And he goes, where are you from? And I said, Alaska. Did God send you? That was the words right out of his mouth. Did God send you? And I said, yes, he did. And the state trooper goes, well, ma'am, I'll tell you, there's a problem. He said, any more than 5 or 8 or something like that, it's considered a protest gathering, and you have to have a license to do that. I said, well, I didn't know that. I'm just coming to pray. I don't want to protest. I'm praying. And he just stands there, and he goes, where are you from in America? And I said, Alaska. And he goes, I'm going to go clock back in and make sure that you do what you came to do. So he goes and clocks back in, gets us into there's a rotunda, and then you go down these stairs, and it's where the governor's office is. I go down there to the governor's office, go in to pray with the governor. And when I come out, all the people, there's some males and females, some are from West Virginia, some are from Athens, Ohio, and surrounding areas, MacArthur and different places. And when I walk out, they all just part like the Red Sea. And I'm looking, and right at the end of the parting of the Red Sea, amongst all these women, is this African-American man. Looks like he's about 6'2", 3'4". He's real tall. I mean, he looks like, my friends all look like pygmies around him. And it looks so funny, the way they separated. And I'm looking up at this man who is totally drenched. And they said, this is Nancy Heaney. And I went, are you looking for me? And he goes, I am. He says, ma'am, I have drove from California straight around the clock for 4 days to get here because God said I was supposed to meet you at such and such a time and you were going to be in the Capitol right now, and you are. He said, I gathered my wife and my two children, and we just started driving. And he said, we drove round the clock to get here. And I said, what for? Why did he send you to see me? He said, because I'm supposed to tell you something. I said, okay, what did he tell you? He said, he told you he wants you to go to every capital in the United States and go to the Eastern Gate and pray. He'll give you what you need to pray. And I reached in my pocket, tears going down my face, and that's what he said to me on the way to Columbus, the city, to the Capitol. Now, do you think God was serious? I think he was. And then I started getting calls from different people. I've got a word. You're supposed to go to the capitals of the United States. Okay. So that made me a believer. I better do it. I don't know how it's going to work, but it all worked out. And there were some people got to go with me at different places, and it just was awesome. Sarah probably did about 70% of those states, but then others helped me with the rest of the states. And it was awesome, and it was terrifying because there was always a weather phenomena that took place after we were finished praying and we were headed to the car. There was always some kind of weather manifestation. It would be the clearest skies, but by the time we were done praying, there were clouds and lightning and thunder, and we were racing to the car almost every time. There was one place I went that scared the willies out of me. We were supposed to spend the night in that state. We didn't even stay and spend the night in that state because there was a dark cloud that came over that capital. And the whole time we were there, it was like these eyes were looking out of the capital. It was closed down, shut down, no lights on. But it was the most freakiest place. Later I found out it's one of the ghost manifestations of our nation. And I'll tell you what, we ran to the car when this cloud came in. Again, thunder and lightning came in, but it was not for good. The other was for good. What God's plans are, I knew it. I was watching the signs all the way along. He says, I work in signs and wonders. I am going to give you a picture of how real God is. I tell you what, he wants to bring his kingdom down on this earth, and he wants to let it magnify in you. Amen? Amen? And I don't know where you're at in your faith, or if you're playing around in your faith and you think it's like rolling dice, or you think that it's like, I'll love God today, but I don't have to tomorrow because I want to do my thing. I'm telling you, God loves you. You can do your thing, and he just waits patiently for you because he will never quit loving you. He won't. He doesn't love you because you're good or bad. He loves you because he created you to love you. And for you to love him back. And when you get connected with that understanding, that's when the kingdom of heaven is on this earth, in you. When you have that true relationship. Amen? So then he says, Nancy, I want you to pray the borders of America. And I wasn't happy about that. There were things going on, and he said, I actually want you to start going to countries around the world, all the capitals around the world. After I went to Israel, I did what he asked me to do. He said, now you're going to go to every capital in the world. He said, I will take care of it, Nancy. It's on my bill. And he has been doing that for 70 countries. 70 countries. In the meantime, you know, he's not done with America. We just went to, I think, 19 countries in Europe. We've done all the countries in Europe. We've been in all of them. We got robbed twice. And the Lord says, what makes you, Nancy, what are you to me? I said, I'm your warrior. And he says, well, why do you not think there's going to be collateral damage? And I said, I'll never ask again why I got robbed. But I know why I got robbed. I know why. I got robbed. Sarah got robbed. But, you know, we are doing our job, what I'm going to get to here in a few minutes. So then he says, I'm coming into Fort Myers, and I'm exhausted. I am exhausted. And I remember we're in the airspace, we're heading to Fort Myers, and the Lord says, I have two things to tell you. One thing to ask you, one thing to tell you. He says, I have caused a shift. A shift. And I said, what do you mean, a shift? And he said, I've caused a shift. It will be in the natural as well in the spiritual. How many of you know that about 4 or 5 years ago, things shifted? Just think about where you were 5 years ago and where you are today. And in between those 5 years, what's taken place? 4 years? I mean, we literally had a shift. The scientists have proven that even the earth shifted. And there were a lot of strange phenomena in the air, on the water, on the sea, on the way that people's, compasses and stuff, navigation equipment, stuff like that. Everything was going out of whack because we shifted. Some people know about it. A lot of people don't know about it, but it did happen. And he said, in that shift, spiritually speaking, he says, I'm going to make it very clear that the right or the left, which is the dark side or the light side. That means the fence runners that are running back and forth playing their Christianity. He said, I've shaved off that running place where you can go back and forth, right or left. I feel good today. I'll go to church. I don't feel good today. I hate everybody and I don't like my pastor. I'm not going. Okay, let's be real. So here he is. Running down, up and down, and all of a sudden God does a shift and he takes the fence and he makes it like that. You cannot run on it. He says, choose whom your master is today. And that's why we're in such a serious hour across America right now. He says, choose whom your master is today. Amen? And that's quoted out of Joshua 14. He tells them all the wonderful things that God has done. And just before he dies, he says, but as for me and my house, we choose to serve the Lord. Amen? Who's your master? Are you the master of your ship? No, you're not. Either it is God or it's Satan. That's the reality. Either Satan's got, I mean, we seem to think we're independent and I'm going to be an atheist. I'm not going to believe in God. I'm not going to believe in the devil. I'm going to be fine. But I'll tell you, that atheist is the biggest troublemaker. And he's going, why am I acting this way? Whose voice are you listening to? Amen? So then he says, pray the borders. And I'm like, pray the borders? I just did 19 countries, capitals. We just finished, 50 states. I said, what do you mean? I said, Lord, okay, I'll do it, but tell me why. I just got to know why. Why? Don't you want to know why he's doing this? I want to know why. He didn't talk to me. The next month he comes back and he said, Nancy, I want you to pray for the borders of America. And I said, I'm sorry, I was in a bad mood. I'm sorry last month. I said yes. I did ask why. Can you tell me why? He didn't say anything. Then he came in August. And he goes, Nancy, I want you to pray the borders of America. I said, I will. And I'm not asking why. I'll just do it. Where do you want me to start? He said, you're going to start on the eastern coast. And there's three things you're going to pray for. Three things, I think. He said, you're going to pray for our military vulnerability on the eastern border of America. I didn't even know we were vulnerable on the eastern border of America, but our government had moved a lot of our military forces over to the western side of America because of all of the stuff that's going on from North Korea. So from up in Seattle all the way down to San Diego, our military was just piling in there. I didn't know that till after this is over with. He also asked me, he said that, oh gosh. The other thing he said is I want you to pray for the natural and unnatural weather phenomena that are going on in America. I didn't know what he was talking about, but that's what he wanted me to pray for, and we had Hurricane Sandy. And I don't know if you know the history of Hurricane Sandy, but there actually were three Sandys. all stirred up from the same source. And the first one's name, when it came out, was Frankenstorm, because the scientists had generated it. And it was called Frankenstorm, man-made. But it petered out. It was supposed to head for Washington, D.C., and it petered out. It caused some storms and a few trees to come down in D.C., but no major damage. Then here come another one. Hurricane Sandy, the Hurricane Sandy that went up there in upper New Jersey and a little bit of New York and did great damage. That happened like 4 or 5 days before I was supposed to leave to pray the eastern border. Do I know that it's man-made or whatever is going on? I didn't know that. That all came out later. But what came out also within a week of us praying the eastern border was a Russian nuclear submarine came into one of our bays right there on the eastern border, right in one of the bays along our land source. And guess what? They don't know how they got past our borders. They said, "What are you doing here?" They just did it to see if they could do it. And they did it and came right up in the bay. Hello. With their flags. You can go back and CNN, and you can see it on the news. I mean, you go back in the history, and you'll see where this nuclear sub popped up right after Hurricane Sandy, the cleanup maybe. Maybe it was 4 or 5 or a week after I had left. Because we flew up, four of us, where do we go? Maine, and drove the whole border all the way down to Fort Myers, Miami. And guess who we met? We met people that were military, that was flying in, being transported in, you know, for what was going on the eastern border. And I had generals calling me up on the phone. I had people in the hotels talking to me about, this is strange. This, you know, I had one lady that's in the military. She's like a lieutenant. We were in the elevator together. And she said, this is so strange. She said, this kind of weather is in the summer, not in November. Not in November. Amen. Right there at the end of October, November. So anyway, I'm trying to give you some veritable facts about what happened. Then that's the first part of November that we pray the eastern border. Then I go home and the Lord says, now I want you to pray the western border. And that was over Thanksgiving. We flew down to Seattle and drove all the way down to San Diego. Do you think that was fun for me? That was the worst trip of my life. Bar none, anything I've ever done in my life. That was the worst trip I ever took on the western border. That was the most strongest God had ever talked to me about our country. And by the time he was done, he said, but there's hope. There's always hope. Amen? There's a poster back there, and it has a picture of an eagle on it. And down at the bottom, it talks about if my people, God said the most misused scripture in the Bible on this trip. He was telling me how upset he was, how people were judging people that he had speaking up that weren't the qualified prophets. He was upset about a book that had been written that bashed people that were pouring out of their mouths the negative of what he was doing. And everybody's projection of the towers coming down. He was upset about the response of America and the judgments flying everywhere. He was upset about that very strongly. And he said, the most misused scripture in America is if my people called by my name will seek my face, humble themselves, repent and pray, I will hear from heaven and will heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. He said, we're always using it to point our finger at somebody else. That picture out there, that poster out there, you can make a donation and get one. If you can't afford it, take one. Hang it up in your home and start just ingesting what he's asking us to do. If my people called by my name, you know, many people are called, few are chosen. You want to know why you're not chosen? Because he calls you and you don't step up. You don't step up. When you step up, he chooses you. Amen? Many are called to come out in the football field. Many of them are called, but you know only a few in the class say, all right, I'm going to go play football. And they're chosen. But all the boys are allowed to go out and do tryouts. Amen? How about you? Are you called? Do you want to be chosen? Say, hey, I'm here. Quit looking at Sarah. Look at me. I'm here. Choose me. Okay? Did I wake you up, Sarah? Anyway, so I prayed the western border, and he really told me that our borders were vulnerable. Our borders had, he reminded me of Nehemiah and his plan to rebuild the walls. And you know, most of the problem was is everybody was afraid of what was being said. Are you afraid about what people will say about you? That's what they were afraid of. I mean, they threatened them, told them how stupid they were, whatever. And Nehemiah came up with a plan, and he said, your tool and your weapon, your knife, your sword, and your tool, and work and pray. Work and pray. Amen? And they got a build after they got that strategy. Anyway, the Lord said, America, if you're a Christian and you believe in this country like God believes in us, and it's like, why do you love America so much, Lord? Why? He says, because America was the first to really embrace my son. That's it. That's it. And so, what is it we're required? If my people call by my name, will seek my face. Seek my face. Humble themselves and pray and repent. I will hear from heaven and will heal their land. How many of you think our land needs to be healed? It does. Major, doesn't it? Well, guess who's going to be a part of that healing? Our prayers. Our righteous prayers, our prayers because we believe, our prayers because we pray in the righteousness of God, our prayers because we know only one person can judge, and that's Jesus Christ. Amen? That makes sense? So, I did the southern border. He told me the five and even six spirits that were reigning over this country. I'm not going to go down that road right now, but I, after my Western experience, we did in December, over Christmas, we flew down to San Diego and rented a car and drove all the way over to Florida. And then the next summer, we drove the northern border. We drove the northern border. And I'll tell you what. He's still asking me to do things. And I mean, I'm like going to get settled, and I'm working and tracking on what he wants me to do. And then he throws me something else. He laughed at me the other day, and he says, wait until you see what I'm going to ask you to do next. Why me? Why me? I had somebody somewhere here recently, because I used to ask that a lot. Lord, why me? He says, you don't know how many I've asked before I got to you, and you said yes. Let that center in your heart. How many people did God speak to until he got to me, this average woman living up in the sticks of Alaska, who was scared to death of people, terrified of men? I had such a fear of both men and women. I embraced children all my life, embraced children. God took all that away from me when I was 40, and it was like, boom, he sent me out. But he didn't do it without preparing my husband, because I would have never, ever started doing what I'm doing today, ever in a million years. I was a homebody. I had that attitude of home-cooked meals and whatever. I didn't have to work, but I found out it was fun to, when my son was going to be moving out, I knew that it was, I was going to have time to kill. I was working at the school. I was a preschool teacher. I was going for my credentials to take over the school as the superintendent of the school. I was 2 weeks short of graduating. Straight A's, I mean, I was never so proud of myself. I was very proud of myself because I always struggled at everything, always. And I was doing well, and it was the grace of God. 2 weeks before I graduate, he says, lay it all down. Lay it all down. Give up the children's ministry, children's church, church camp for the state of Alaska, for the Nazarene church. He said, give it all up. Give it all up. And I couldn't believe he was asking me to do that. Because 8, 9 months earlier, I had died on the operating table. And that's how he got me to come back to earth. After dying on that, after getting to go to heaven and walk in heaven, he sends me back. But he says, I'm going to send you to children all over the world. Listen, that's just not in my brain. I don't go to that level. And I didn't understand it. But here he's taken my love, my very love of working with children. As a teacher, write my own curriculum. I loved it. I loved it. And he said, give it to me. I went to my husband, and he's a Sunday school director for the Nazarene church there at our church, like second under the pastor. And he goes, I went to him, and I said, Henry, I think I'm going crazy because I'm hearing God say, give this up, to resign all of this. I said, I don't understand it. I was crying. And he goes, oh, Nancy. He held me and he cried with me and he said, I know. He came and told me 6 months ago what he was going to do. I said, well, what is he doing? And he says, he said, Henry, I need you to release Nancy. I'm going to be sending her around the world. I said, Henry, I'm so glad you and God got this figured out. Listen, I wasn't happy. Would you be happy? It's like, don't I have a choice here? God, didn't you say we always have a choice? Well, I got over it. But I didn't like it at first. I didn't. It was hard. I grieved it. But then he started sending me down the Kuskokwim. He started sending me to villages, sending me down to southeast Alaska. I was going up there and driving Evelyn Glass nuts, going all over the place. I was then here in America, then Nicaragua, and did a lot of work down there. And then we end up going over to Hong Kong, and then I started going into mainland China, and they were following me around, watching me all the time. I was doing this since 1997. And I'm telling you, when I got the phone call in 2010, I think, that, hey, we want to know if you want to come over and we want to invite you to do the first woman's Christian conference preaching Jesus Christ in mainland China for over 115 years since the Boxer's Rebellion. Can you imagine that? I was blown away. Again, why me? Why me? I found out later why. God always has a plan. So I'm telling you all of this. Is God real? Is God got a plan for your life? Listen, if he has a plan for my life up there in the sticks, and I just loved hiding with the children, I die and go to heaven, and he says, you got to go back. Why am I going to send you back? Because I trust that you're going to speak the kingdom of heaven and bring it down on this earth. That's what I'm doing. I'm getting more and more brave about my testimony. I'm risking, it's costing me to stand up here and tell you these things, and you look at me, either I'm some great fool that has a great imagination, or this woman is hearing God, and she's here because she wants you to hear God. Amen? Why do bad things happen to good people? Anybody know why? You're a good person. And you can't understand why bad things happen, why weird misunderstandings take place. You too, right? We wonder, why? Lord, I love the Lord. Why? Why did my husband, who is, I'll tell you what, the most precious man I've ever met in my life. Sorry, guys, but I'm telling you, you meet him, you will love him. He has no guile in his heart. He's Mr. Perfect. That's what I say about him. Amen? But he's my perfect. Now, some of you women, you wouldn't have handled living with him. You wouldn't have. My husband is extremely intelligent, and he's got to feed his mind constantly. And the Lord told me closely after we got married that he was special. And I had to let him do what he does best, and that was to learn. Because he was so highly intelligent. You shut down a highly intelligent person, they crash. And I mean, I didn't have the knowledge or understanding of that, but God gave me a vision about my husband. And he is. He's a quick reader, but he has a photographic memory. Everything he reads, he remembers. I mean, he's phenomenal. He's phenomenal. I mean, if I could just take him everywhere I went, I would have so much fun. Because he would just be my own personal dictionary, library, world history. I mean, he knows all of the wars. I mean, he's just a delight to go and sit down and talk to him. He's so wise and yet so humble. You wouldn't know it until you asked something and he'd share it. He's very, very gentle and very kind. You know what the most important thing to him is when he sees something in you, and he hurts because he knows you're hurting. And sometimes he sees it's from childhood. And he can see, he would be good at that because he was given up for adoption at 5 years old. He watched his dad try to kill his mom, and he tried to save her, and they had to get them out of Detroit, Michigan, and over to Portland, Oregon. And his mother's parents said, "You can come back and live, but you need to put those children away, the three children, into a orphanage." And that's where Henry ended up, in an orphanage. So he can pick it up when you got that orphan mentality like that. And his heart breaks for it. Amen? Heart breaks for it. So why in the world did that happen to Henry? Why did he get cancer? Well, I'm going to tell you why. God said, now follow me, if you're just a babies in your walk with the Lord, or you were walking and you ran away from it, your memory is going to come back. But what is the strongest words on this earth? What is the name that we can use that we have authority over Satan? Say it again. Jesus. Jesus. That is the truth. Do you know that name, Jesus, over your finances, over your career, over your family, it all brings things in order. I'll tell you what, the Lord is a promise keeper. Amen? Okay, hold that thought. The second thing is the blood. It says in chapter 12, verse 11, how do you overcome the devil? By the blood of the Lamb. So you can declare not only Jesus' name, you can declare the blood of the Lamb. Amen? And you can declare your testimony. You start testifying about Jesus, and I'll tell you, Satan is on the run. Amen? He's working in a great distance away, trying to see if you're going to slip up and try to be a fence walker. If he sees you walking on the fence and playing games with your spirit, I'll tell you what, he's going to be right there to try to catch you. Because you won't be able to keep running that fence. He's going to be right there to get you. Come on, baby. I got some plans for you. You're going to hurt a lot of people and you're going to hurt yourself. That's his plan. Because I hate God so much. That's why he does that. Amen? So here, let me bring that back in. Why do bad things happen to good people? When we know the name of Jesus Christ, when we know the power of the blood, what is it that is the problem? A lot of times I like to walk in my yard and just ponder and talk to the Lord. And he says, I'm going to tell you one of the reasons. He said they quit watching. We quit watching. Listen, if you're the master of your house, do you leave your door open so the enemy can come in and devour who he may devour? That's in 1 Peter. But what master of their home would do that? You go to bed at night, do you lock your door or do you leave it open so anybody can come in? I want to target you men. You have a responsibility to watch over your family. You cannot take anything for granted. It's like young girls. I mean, sometimes they get so frustrated with me because they want to do what the other girls are doing. But I'll tell them, your daddy is your daddy until your daddy hands you off to your husband. Hello? And they'll go, well, what about all those women that are living in apartments and out on their own and whatever? And yeah, that's where you see rapes. That's where you see maims. That's where you see killings. That's where you see them pregnant. That's where you see them angry at God because they've been through many, many, many relationships. It's because they came out from under their covering. And I believe that strongly. And I'll go toe-to-toe with anybody on that. When I married Henry, he's my covering. Amen? I step out of my covering, you bet the enemy's going to be there. He has a right. He has a right to get you. You're not under the proper covering, women. And I'll tell you, if you're on your own, you are the master of your house. But I'll tell you what, God is your covering. And oh my gosh, you have a greater responsibility than anything for that. Amen? My friend Debbie Grimes, she went through a bad marriage, and the choice was divorce. And people have tried to set her up with dates, set her up with men. Men have tried to get close to her, and every time they do, she goes back to the Word. Back to the Word. She said, the Lord is my husband. Her children, she had three daughters when that happened, and I watched God father those three girls. All strong Christians today, all three of them, I'll tell you what, they were high scholastically in school. They did excellent in school. Two of them were valedictorian, right? One of them was right behind, but there were so many. But I'm telling you, they're involved in the church, love the Lord. I mean, God has been their father and Debbie's husband. And I'll tell you, women, if you're going through problems, you get yourself in order and you watch how God will take care of you. Amen? You've got to watch what's coming down the pike. When Henry got cancer, if he'd have been watching, if he'd listened to his wife is saying, go to the doctor. Something's not right. Let me pray for you. He'd come and he'd say, I'm in so much pain. And I pray for him, but I said, you need to go to the doctor. He goes to the doctor and he's got cancer. I mean, he's got 3 months to live. He's got cancer all over his body. But God. But God said this, pray, Nancy, this way. Pray that I give you the grace for my decision concerning Henry. And the timing on it and everything, you just got to know it was God. I'm not going to go there. I just want you to know, are you watching? Are you watching in your workplace? Why do bad things happen to you? Watch in your workplace. Don't allow yourself to get positioned to get hurt. Keep your eyes wide open. Amen? Be clear. No misunderstandings. Don't take anything for granted. Amen? Don't take him for granted. Amen? So, how do we get in trouble sometimes when we're good people? We're not watching. Oh, watchman, what do you see? Amen? Okay. The second thing I want to do is I want to list these names. See if you remember them. Noah, Abraham, Moses, David, Amos, Jonah, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, Saul, Paul, Matthew. What do all those gentlemen have in common? For you girls, I could see Esther and Deborah. But what do all those names have in common? Can I tell you? See if you fit in these categories. Noah couldn't continue his life as usual. He had to build an ark. Abraham could not stay in Haran and father a nation in Canaan. Moses couldn't stay on the backside of the desert when he had a call to go before Pharaoh and release the Israelites. David, he had to leave the sheep to become a king. Amos, he was around the sycamore trees, but God said, you need to leave and go to preach in Israel. Jonah, what did Jonah have to do? He had to leave his home, and believe me, he tried to leave his home, and he got, you know, that express big fish spit him out on the ground because he said, yes, Lord. And by the way, when you read that account in the Bible about Jonah, I mean, it's like it just blows me away that here he is in the belly of the well 3 days before he repents. Is that stubborn or what? It says 3 days in the well and he repents. Listen, I would be going down the gullet of that well. I would have been saying, I repent, I'll go to Nineveh. But he waited 3 days. You see how stubborn we are? But he had to go back and go to Iraq to a people that were heathens and killers and you name it. And he had to go there and tell them what God wanted to do. And they repented. And he was mad they repented. He wanted God to kill them. You know the rest of the story on that, or read it. Peter, James, and John, I'll tell you what, they had to leave their fishing businesses. Why? Because God said, follow me. Look at Matthew. Matthew is sitting at a tax booth, and Jesus walks by and sees him and says, follow me. What about Saul? Here he was on his way to Damascus to kill some more Christians. And boom, he's on the ground. And the Lord says, why do you persecute me? Why do you do that? And his life was changed, and God called him. He went to Straight Street to get straightened out. So he could go straight to work for God. Amen? Isn't that awesome? And where did he go? He went to the Gentiles first. This great, wise man who could speak to the best of them, the kings and whatever, trained and schooled and has the name and has the money. And what does he do? He goes to the Gentiles. And Peter, James, and Andrew, and John, they go to the leaders and the priests and just flip-flops their whole personalities. Amen? Just flips off. So what's my point? All of these men had to pay a cost. All of these men had a revelation. Did you have a revelation of Jesus? A revelation that your life needed to be changed? With a revelation, there's a submission. Actually, I like to look at it as repent, submit, obedience. Then the kingdom of God can use you. Amen? But here they are. I have had a revelation after revelation after revelation, okay? And the next thing he does is he expects a reaction. What is that reaction? I need to adjust my life. I cannot continue to do what I was used to doing. I had to start submitting to the Lord, submitting to his plan rather than my plans. God says it's going to cost you to be a Christian. It's going to cost you. But let me give you a picture. If you're sincere in paying that cost and letting God adjust you, where your life over here, it was like my way or the highway, where he says, how about my highway? A little bit narrower. You know what I mean. Go my way and see what will happen. See where I lead you. See where you'll go. The sky is the limit. Amen? I know some of you are sitting there thinking, how can God use me? Give me 5 minutes with you and I'll tell you how he can use you. Amen? It's costly, the adjustment God wants you to make. Amen? I'm gonna show you something. Would you put that first picture up for me, Tim? What do you see up there? A ship. With all its masts out. With all its masts, It looks like clear waters, doesn't it? That's a good day. That's a good day for you. All your masts are up and your emotions are out there, and the light wind is just taking you across the waters. Everything's cool. Nothing's wrong. But if you're not watching, that ship is slowly going to move into some storms. Put the next one up. I don't know if you can see it real clearly, but this ship, I can't see it as good as I'd like for you to see it, but this ship doesn't have the sails up. This ship, if you look up here, you'll see small sails close to the base of the ship. In front of the ship is the Lion of Judah. Can you see him? Can you see him? If you want to get up and get closer and look at it, because it's really important for you to see these pictures. The picture before, it's life. It's a good life. Don't let anything happen to me. I don't see anything coming. My emotions are out there. And all of a sudden, a storm comes up like that. And it's like, I better do something. I better be watching. I see those storms coming. I need to pull those big sails down. Because if I don't, if all my emotions are out there, I'm going to turn over in the water and probably drown. That's what we do with our emotions. Whatever the emotions are. You know, I mean, what emotions are directing your path? Is it when you're happy that everything goes good? When you're down, you close up in your house because you're depressed? What is it? What is it that causes you to shift in your thinking and what you're doing? Does somebody ignore you one day and your ship is already spinning because of a storm? What is it that shakes your tree? What is it that when you are watching and you know that you're being vulnerable, you need to pull in those sails and pop up those storm sails? And yes, there are storm sails. And those storm sails are the sails that are made with a heavy material, stronger material. You put it closer to the base of the ship. And the ship and those little sails will take advantage of the storm and get you to the other side. And what are those small storm sails? What, you know what they are? They are your prayer life. Is it strong? It's your Bible study time. Is it strong? It's your fellowship with other believers. Is it strong? If it's not, you're in danger. You don't have your storm sails. All you have is your emotions to guide you, whether you feel good or you're going to feel bad, and that's how the world's going to have to take you. Adjustment. God says, open your eyes and watch where you're going. Where are you? Have you buffed yourself up spiritually? Have you prepared yourself while you're watching? And here you're happy. You know, we had an awesome time here, you know, tonight. You're going to go home, and who knows what you're going to meet at home? A Dear John letter, a terrible phone call, a loss in life. Your sails are out right now. You're catching the wind of God. You're happy. But all of a sudden, boom, a problem. And God says, get your emotions in check. Get your storm sails out. Start praying. Hold on to the scriptures that you know. And the Lord says, I will get you through the problem. I'll get you through the problem. That's what God did with Henry and I with his cancer. Or the strokes that I was having from 2003 until two Christmases ago. I haven't had one since December 13th, two December 13ths back. I mean, from 2003, they couldn't stop them. They just couldn't stop them. And then the Lord came into that hospital room. I mean, I had a stroke behind my left eye and three up here, and I was enabled. I couldn't talk. I was talking like this. I mean, the devil went for my throat. He went for my throat. Amen? Like my friend, you know, she shared in a workshop, you know, the fire went for her throat, went for her hands, what she plays the guitar with, a burn barrel blew up, a third of the top of the barrel blew off at her. She caught on fire. Her ears were on fire. She didn't tell you that this ear here was black all the way to the end. This here was halfway, and they were talking about removing everything here and half of this. She didn't even know it because this was burned so bad. And I'll tell you what, the number one fear in America is public speaking. You guys demonstrated it. But you overcame it. Amen? You overcame it. The number one fear, and isn't that like Satan to take that? Watch. Watch your disposition. Watch what's going on. Somebody says, speak. Is it out of fear that you don't want to do it? Or will you do it out of obedience and trust what God's going to do with you? He's not going to waste your testimony. Not an inch of your life will be wasted. Nothing you have suffered, endured, or your good things, God said, none of it's wasted. It will not come back in vain. You'll be able to use it to help so many people. Amen? That's my trigger. Amen? You guys want to know what the second one is? You want to know what the second biggest fear in America? This was on CNN the other day, because you know that clown that was showing up on the streets and was in New York, and it was scaring everybody. They couldn't do anything with him. He was dressed up like a clown, a scary clown carrying around black balloons, and they couldn't stop him. You know, stop him for what? So they did a poll across America. What were the top three things that people were afraid of? One, public speaking. Isn't that like the devil to try to keep the Christian's mouth shut? And the second one is zombies. Zombies. Now listen to me. Zombies. What about zombies? They're dead. First of all, they're not real. But America's second fear is zombies. Zombies. And I have to say, if you're not in Christ, you're dead. You're walking dead. I believe that. You have no direction. You have no hope. You have no idea the gifts that God wants to utilize through you, the empowerment, not just acting like a Christian, but it's inside of you, that power to be released. Amen? And what was the third one? Clowns. Clowns. And I had to crack up a bit with that, because a lot of positions of people that have authority over us, from our parents. Yes, we have some bad parents. We have some really good parents. People in leadership, sometimes our coaches in school or teachers, they were clowns. Even people that are leading this country, they can be clowns. So why wouldn't we be afraid of that? Why wouldn't we be afraid of that? I'm going to do a study on clowns one day. Anyway, I wasn't spanking anybody. I'm trying to enlighten you to step up, to listen to the call, to stay your course. Look what you're looking at. You'll get to the other side if you trust me. You're not going to make it without God. You're just not going to make it without him. That's what it says in the Bible. I want you to make it. And I'll be one. You're down there in hell. You've made your mind up. I'm going to have fun on the earth, and I don't need that God stuff. And I'm going to be leaning over from heaven going, can I send you a bottle of water? Because I know my heart's so compassionate. Lord, please, can I send them some water? Please consider what I said tonight. Please know that God is real. There is a heaven and there is an earth, and he wants a place to settle in. He wants to settle in your heart. He wants a place to rest so that you can do his work. That's how I look at it. Okay, Lord, come and rest in me, and I'll do whatever you want. Amen. I liken it to my husband. He would go to work all day, and he'd come home. I didn't want him to come home and have to work when he got home. I wanted to come home and rest. He made that happen for me. He gave me a good home, and he would come home. I would have dinner ready. I'd have the kids settled down, changed, and ready for bed, you know, so they went to bed at 8 o'clock, so he had me to himself. I could tell when he came in the door if he had a bad day, and I'd watch. I was always a guard with my husband and my children, because if Henry came in grouchy, he didn't mean to be grouchy to the kids, so I'd just kind of get in between them, and I'd say, honey, is everything okay? Did something happen at work? You know, I'd scoot the kids off to their room or whatever, and he goes, there's nothing wrong. And I said, well, let's go to the mirror. Then you tell me there's nothing wrong, Mr. Frowny Face. And he'd just go, this is his hands. Nancy, I hate it when you do that to me. And I said, you do not. You love it. Because his mood changed just like that. Just like that. Because he didn't mean to be grouchy. Amen? Who knows what he had to pick up at work and come home with. But I want his place to be a place of rest. Amen? That's what I want God to have in me, is a place of rest. How about you? How about you? Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord, that you let me share that we have to make adjustments when we have a revelation that we need you. We have to make some choices. We have to take some risks. Some friends are not going to like us because we're going to get weird, because we love you so much. And our lives will change. Our tastes for the world will taste. It won't even taste good anymore. And Lord, I just ask tonight that we pray for eyes last night to see. Now let them watch with them. Let them watch about their parents if they're still alive, their children. Father God, if they get to be with their children. Father God, their grown children. Father God, let them be watching in the church. Let them be watching in their business or their school. Let them be watching. Let them be on guard all the time. Because, Lord, that's one of the reasons bad things happen to good people. They quit watching. And, Lord, we never want to take you for granted. Lord, I pray that everyone in this building tonight will go home and get a good rest. And tomorrow wake up and say, okay, Lord, I'm ready to be adjusted. What do I need to do to change? Call me. And he'll say to you, I already did. What saith you? Amen? God bless you and thank you for coming tonight. Amen? To God be the glory. Amen? Come back tomorrow night. You're going to be blessed. I'm going to tell you what God said about these next 7 years. Amen? How you can be a part of it.